One Christmas Carol took 117 years to create, but Hark the Herald Angels Sing has a hidden message just 4 words long that has survived the test of time. Even here in 1996, this classic by Charles Wesley speaks to us of reconciliation. Welcome to the Voice of Prophecy. This is Lonnie Melashenko. Join us today as we search for ways to make this a better world and prepare for the world to come.
Hello, this is Kenneth Richards. After a wonderfully frantic year of radio broadcasting, it's hard to believe that we're almost to the finish line. The year 1996 has just 8 days left to go, which reminds us to bring up a last-minute special gift. If you haven't yet received a complimentary copy of the Voice of Prophecy's exquisite new calendar for 1997, we're sharing them all this week. These beautiful four-color calendars won a special award last year for artwork and design, and this new one is equally attractive. They're entitled Through Nature to Nature's God, and come complete with a year-long read-through-the-Bible schedule along with this breathtaking photography. Details in a few minutes, but right now let's get back to the Bible and our topic for this week, Hark, and Then What Message? Here's Lonnie with today's message, Stop, Look, and Listen.
Thanks, Ken. Season's greetings, everyone. You know, it's got to be one of the great team efforts in music history. And if you walk through a mall tonight or go to church this weekend, you're very likely to hear the musical culmination of something that took over 100 years to put together. In the year 1739, a 32-year-old priest in the Church of England wrote a 10-stanza song entitled Hymn for Christmas Day. It began like this, Hark, how all the welkin rings, glory to the King of Kings. Welkin, by the way, is a Middle English term for the vault of heaven, the sky. 18 years later, in 1753, a family friend of Charles Wesley, a minister named George Whitfield, did some adapting of the lyrics, making them somewhat more familiar. 29 years after that, in 1782, someone else came along, unknown as far as we can tell, and gave the words another spin, including giving the Christmas hymn the now familiar chorus, Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. A half century or so went by, and then another very young musician named Jakob Ludwig Felix Mendelssohn Bartholdy, or just Felix Mendelssohn for short, wrote a composition entitled Festgesang an de Künstler, translated Festival Song for the Artists. This was in 1840 and performed at the Gutenberg Festival in Leipzig to commemorate the 400th anniversary of the invention of the printing press, the Gutenberg Festival, you see. But what's that got to do with the Christmas song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, you ask? Another 16 years went by before composer William Heyman Cummings came along, lifted out part of the Mendelssohn Festival song composition, attached it to Charles Wesley's lyrics, and made it the song we know and love here in 1996, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Well, it took a total of 117 years and 5 different men from different countries to produce this unique Christmas masterpiece. And some of us in Christian radio get discouraged if a script comes in 2 hours late. You know, at this time of year with Christmas just 2 days away, music is such a blessed part of our lives. Why, all up and down the AM and FM band, we hear Christmas songs. Every store has jingle bells going. We get home in the evening and we get out all of the CDs that we only play in the month of December. And it's nice. It's a marvelous tradition. All last week here on The Voice of Prophecy, Ken and David and I enjoyed discussing and sampling with you 5 of the great classics from Handel's Messiah. I hope you were with us for some of that. But you know, there's a danger to Christmas music. And all this week as we visit together, maybe we can notice it and sidestep the temptation. Here it is. So often the message of a Christmas hymn, even an overtly Christian carol about Jesus Christ being our Savior, just becomes a part of the pleasant blur. We have lights in our Christmas trees and a million packages all around and cold moonlit skies and decorations everywhere, and all this music simply blends into the ambiance of the season. It's just a backdrop. And the power of the message really does get swept into the trash can on December 26, along with the torn wrapping paper and the mangled bows. Oh, friend, I don't want that to happen to us this week, which is why we especially appreciate the very first word of this 117 years in the making Christmas hymn. Here it is. Hark! Now, what does that mean, hark? Hark, the herald angels sing. What do we do when we hark? Well, there's no mystery to what the dictionary tells us. Hark simply means, quote, to listen attentively. When we hark, we pay attention. We push to the sidelines all of the noise, the confusion, the Santa Claus bells ringing in our faces, the infomercials and Seinfeld TV specials. We listen attentively to what the words of this song are communicating to us. What's more, we listen attentively to what the herald angels are singing up there in the welkin, the vault of heaven, the sky. For example, in the very second line of this classic hymn is a line we simply must not miss. Here's what the angel choir is singing. God and sinners reconciled. Now, friend, I don't know what's going to get blocked out for you on this December 23rd. But whatever you do, don't let it be those four words. The Christmas story is one of reconciliation. What we experience this Wednesday is the ultimate reaching out, the greatest display of divine entreaty the universe has ever witnessed. God and sinners reconciled. Well, that's really our topic for tomorrow, but let me encourage you right here and now, hit the pause button and let those four words really pound into your soul. Don't just hum the tune and then switch to another station. Don't let visions of sugar plums dance in your head and crowd out the fact, the truth, that here on Monday, December 23, friend, God wants to reconcile with you. Now, here's a second and related point. Friend, we're so grateful for the kind of person you are, that you're tuned in today. Now, this has got to be a holiday week for many of our usual listeners. People are off from work, so their routine and schedule is off kilter. People are sleeping in, or they're at the mall. They're frantically trying to round out gift lists and grocery lists and guest lists. But here you are, tuned into the voice of prophecy. In a very beautiful sense, you are indeed hearkening to the message God has for you. From the bottom of my heart, I appreciate that depth of spiritual commitment. I really do. Thank you for giving 15 minutes of your schedule here, less than 48 hours away from Christmas Day, and taking time out for these moments together in the invisible house of the Lord. You know, there's a bit of trivia about this hymn that effectively drives this point home. Charles Wesley, as you may know, was the brother of John Wesley, founder of the Methodist Church. And I guess talent must have run in this family, because history tells us that little brother Charles wrote something like 6,500 hymns. 6,500! I try to think about that, but I can hardly comprehend it. Now, he lived to be 81, but no matter how you spread around the number 6,500, it would be a hymn a day for nearly 18 years. And many of these, like Hark the Herald Angels Sing started out, are long masterpieces, 8 and 10 complicated stanzas. I mean, he wasn't just scribbling down Twinkle Twinkle Little Star on a party napkin. These were major, substantial, deeply spiritual compositions. And speaking of talent, we read in the archives that Wesley had a legendary gift for poetry. Even many of his letters were just naturally written in rhyme. His son Samuel was a noted high church composer, and his grandson Samuel Sebastian was perhaps the greatest cathedral organist of his era. In the official hymnal of my own Adventist denomination, out of less than 700 hymns and gospel songs and choruses and prayer responses, this one man, Charles Wesley, has 18 of the top-rated hymns of all time. He and Isaac Watts and Fanny Crosby pretty much own the franchise in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and we're deeply grateful for the heritage, believe me. But here's my point. Even for Charles Wesley, writer of 6,500 hymns, it might have been a great temptation for these poignant words to become a blur. I mean, when you're so prolific, when your stack of manuscripts reaches right up to the roof of your home there in Bristol, England, four little words like God and sinners reconciled could so easily get lost in the pile. That's why Charles Wesley, just like we do, keenly felt the need of that word, hark, to listen attentively, to let the world go by while we pause to hear the still, small Christmas voice of our God saying, "Please, open up the present I have for you this year." I said at the beginning that it took 117 years for this song to come together. And friend, I believe God intervened and even supervised in that process because this Christmas carol is part of his reaching out to you right now, today. He moved upon the heart and mind of Charles Wesley. His spirit quietly worked through Felix Mendelssohn. And here on this Monday, for whatever reason, after those 117 years, and then another 140 beyond that, you're here tuned into the radio at just the right moment. From 1739 all the way down to this moment in time in 1996, and God is working to personally reach you with his message of reconciliation, God and sinners reconciled. Friend, would we dare consider letting a 257-year project of God's be wasted on us? I hope and pray not. Not for me, and not for you either. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord, it's almost Christmas, and here some of us are harking just now. We're listening for your quiet voice. We're noticing the fact you've reached out to us. And those of us here on the staff of the Voice of Prophecy, and many listening today, I'm sure, want to respond. We want to say yes to your offer of forgiveness, of renewal, of coming home to you here in the Christmas season 1996. And we thank you for the invitation. Amen.
Thank you, Lonnie, for the beautiful prayer. Friend, God is reaching out to us today, especially through the gifts of nature and his holy word. And our new Voice of Prophecy calendars for 1997 combine scenes of nature with a schedule for reading your Bible this coming year. If you haven't received a copy yet of this beautiful calendar, we'd love to hear from you today. Here's our toll-free request line, 1-800-872-0055. Again, 1-800-872-0055. Or you can write to Voice of Prophecy, Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. That's Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. Just ask for the 1997 Voice of Prophecy calendar. Our Canadian address is Box 2127, Oshawa, Ontario, L1H7V4. And be sure to mention the call letters of this station when you call or write. Now, here's Lonnie Malashenko.
Thanks, Kenneth. Tomorrow we'll dig a bit deeper into the mysteries of this Christmas carol and its promise of a December reconciliation. Here's our title, God Searching the Snow-Covered Streets. I want to thank our writer-producer, David Smith, who wrote the scripts for this week's programs, and also Armando Cordero, our studio engineer. And friend, thank you as well for joining us. We'll be looking forward to hearing from you and to mailing out this beautiful calendar through nature to nature's God. Until tomorrow then, this is Lonnie Malashenko, reminding you that it's always true. Yes, God loves you.
You preach the sermons and leave the music to me. Little brother Charles Wesley could easily have said that to John, who preached something like 40,000 sermons in his lifetime. But while it's true that John Wesley never matched the 6,500 hymns written by his brother, his name does indeed appear at the top of some songs, including one masterpiece where he officially is listed as the translator. Jesus, Your Blood and Righteousness began as a 33-stanza marathon by the famous Count Nicholas Ludwig von Zinzendorf, 18th-century German preacher. The transition from German to English was accomplished by John Wesley, who in the process did drop the number of stanzas down to a more manageable 24. And it was John Wesley who edited, organized, and published the hymns of his brother Charles so effectively that hymnody, said one writer, became the most powerful evangelizing influence England ever knew. And yet humility reigned in this founder of the Methodist faith, a man who personally brought 100,000 people to Christ. "The world is my parish," he confessed, and yet one plain line from this translated hymn says it all. "This then shall be my only plea, Christ Jesus, who died for me." For the Voice of Prophecy and the Adventist Church, I'm Ken Richards.